Hello and welcome back to the Jessica Pennelly podcast. I'm Jess, your host and your favorite female empowerment coach. This is a safe space to speak about all things on mindset, relationships, business, sex, money, and life experiences. Get comfortable, get ready, and let's go. Morning to you in the UK, Radhika. Welcome to Hello. The Jessica Pennelly podcast.
Hi, Jessica. How are you doing? I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited for you to be here as well and to get into a lot of different things because I had a big stalk of your Instagram. I love your work, but I actually want to start with something different. I've noticed something very interesting about your Instagram. You don't follow anyone. Why is that?
Yes.
Share that. I love that.
Yeah, at the moment I don't. I'll probably start following people at some point. I was like going through such a death with the business, not really a death, just needing a break and just feeling a little bit lost, feeling a bit burnt out, feeling this sense of I'm not sure what I'm doing. And amongst all of that was just this diluting of my voice. And getting a little bit sucked in by what other people were doing and the comparison piece and all of those things. So as part of like just really wanting to clear space for myself, clear space for what has needed to birth through the last few weeks, I decided to just unfollow everybody and just come back to myself and to allow space for that, to allow for the emergence, you know, the birthing of what was needed. And it's just been really, really powerful actually to just go on Instagram, share what I'm sharing. Sometimes I go onto people's accounts and see what's going on because I'm obviously interested, but really allowing myself that space to just kind of come back to myself and trust in my voice and what I'm creating and all of those things. And I remember like in the past seeing accounts that have done that and feeling triggered by it and feeling like, well, why isn't she following anybody? And seeing it as like, you know, that's not very community based. And, you know, I always think like these things, it doesn't have to be permanent. It can be an experiment, you know, it can be an experiment to see what do you receive out of it? Is it beneficial for you at that moment in time? And if it's also allowed like this clearance. So now kind of rebuilding it again, who do I want to really follow? Who's really going to feed me in terms of what I'm creating and the impact I want to make on the world?
I love that. And when I saw that, I was like, you have inspired me, and especially hearing the reasons behind why you've done it. I think it is so easy with social media now to compare. And as you know, as we get into what you do and who you are, I think it's also such a big thing. What you said is losing your voice, diluting your voice in all of the work. And I'm really interested to just, has been like maybe your top two biggest takeaways from doing this and being very grounded in Instagram and social media?
You know, when we're caught up in the social media space, and it's so easy to do, I even not following anybody, I still get caught up in it. And the biggest things that I've learned from I guess having the break, and having this break was also like deleting Instagram for like a month or something. It was just this real feeling of spaciousness, this feeling of, okay, I get to choose. I get to choose the pace in which I create. I get to choose the pace in which I deliver things on my business. I get to choose how I'm launching. I get to choose all of it. And I was just so caught up in what everybody else is doing and everybody else's success. And I guess there was that child part of me that could just feel this trigger and being aware of it. And I, totally celebrate other women in particular for what they're creating and what they're doing. But when it's taking away from your vision, and when you know inside of you that there's something that you are here to do that is incredible, that is going to change things, that needs to be birthed, it's like you've got to honor this that version of you and the space that you need to create that. And it's like that thing of if I'm wanting my business to be whatever it is that I desire it to be. Like for me, it's about creating a long-term nourishing business where, I get to take amazing breaks with my husband and my son, and that I'm present with my son and I'm here to support him and have beautiful weekends with him and all of those things. If I'm creating that version, I have to step into the boundaries, the loving devotional boundaries around that now. And so part of that was this kind of shake up with the social media piece.
I think
And
that's
yeah, it's
beautiful and such a testament to what you do. And I know that you have this kind of multi-modality approach to healing and growth. And I feel like it may seem like to other people a small thing, like unfollowing everyone, but I feel exactly what you've spoken about is a true testament to the work that you do. So let us all know how this flows in to the work that you do and what you
Yes.
what you're currently embodying.
So I've definitely been going through a shift, as everyone's probably heard. My initial business was around supporting people to heal and to grow from trauma and emotional wounds. And I still do that work. I still have my one-to-one mentorship. It's definitely moved more towards people who want to lead themselves, who want to lead themselves through life, love, business. And now it has definitely taken this shift to supporting emerging and seasoned leaders who want to learn to step out of the box. The thing that has emerged from this space has been creating a coaching certification, but not in the way that we know coaching. So I've kind of come from a really traditional psychology background. I've been a psychologist for more than 17 years and in kind of leadership in for longer than that. And the thing that I was really, really stuck in was tradition. And it was almost like this narrative of this is how you should do things. And it was so stifling. And it, like kind of having to adhere to professional ethics and boundaries, which are really helpful, but within that, not having creative flow, not having creative vision. And now what I've created in this certification is how do you bring in, pieces that aren't really spoken about in traditional coaching certifications, like spirituality, like ceremony, God. And how do we bring that in? How do you bring in things like embodiment? So you're not just talking about, okay, how do you connect with your body, but that it's so much deeper and so much richer than that. How are you creating this version of yourself? How are you devoting to her? And bringing in all of those, bringing in all of those richer pieces into it. And amongst it as well, how do you bring in your uniqueness as a leader? How do you bring in your magic? Because that is what is going to turn you into a trailblazer. That's the piece that is, you can learn, you can go and do a somatics course, you can go and do a doctorate in psychology, you can do all of those things. But the thing that is unique, that is going to set you apart, that is going to bring in the people that you desire to work with is to claim your wholeness and to own your unique piece of magic.
What is
and
becoming,
to bring that into your work.
What does becoming a leader mean to you? And when you bring on women to work with you, what is your vision for them? Obviously, keeping in mind every single person is different and on their own journey. What does being a leader and in your own power mean?
Yes, such a good question. So a lot of the people that I work with or that I have worked with in the past, and this is also the past version of me, is the disempowered person. So their trauma, my trauma, my emotional wounds, their trauma, their emotional wounds has led to them operating in life from this place of disempowerment. So life becomes something that is happening to you. Life becomes something that you have no control over, that you don't have a say in. Life has been, you have along the line somewhere, and it's probably deep rooted in your lineage as well, there has been your power taken away from you. So that power can be in the lineage of your mother. You know, women historically have been in that space of being third, fourth place, you know, not just after the man, but after their kids as well. So that disempowerment has been in that line, but it's also what you have experienced in this lifetime that has meant that you are then potentially operating from this place of somebody has taken my power away from me. Somebody's taken my voice away from me. Somebody has taken my sense of identity and personal control away from me. So they are operating, you are operating from that place of disempowerment and that place of my identity is limited. My identity is this and it's unchangeable. When we step into leadership, we are claiming back our power. So we are learning that we are safe, first of all, within ourselves, within our bodies, and creating a pathway of safety in our life. And the leadership piece is around how we are claiming back our voice, how we are claiming back our sense of power. And that is across all aspects of life. So it is evolving. It's things like, you know, I guess the way that I see it now as a leader and really embodying the leader within me, the way that I see things now is so different from the version of me 5 years ago. 5 years ago, there would be all these pieces in my life which I felt like I had no sense of control over. Now it's like, okay, if I have a crap relationship with money, then it might take me a while, but I will go to that place of looking at the shadows around it, looking at the wounds around it, taking that sense of empowered responsibility and making that an exciting project. You know, so it's also that shift of, okay, this doesn't have to be something that beats me. This doesn't have to be a wound that I'm continually sitting in. This is something that I get to be the person who breaks that wound that has been in my lineage. I get to be the first generation of woman who gets to be breaking that wound and creating wealth. Whatever the piece is, right? If you've come from a lineage of domestic violence, right? Or you've come from a lineage of where there's been abuse that has been deeply rooted in the systems and the family structure, then you get to be the person who creates that new way for your children. So that is leadership to me.
Well, the women listening, and they resonated with that, and they want to step into their self as a leader. They want to step into their power, but they're feeling overwhelmed right now. They're thinking, okay, I hear you, I resonate, but I'm a little bit overwhelmed. Where's the first step? What's the first stepping stone for them?
So when we're feeling overwhelmed, I always think like this is, the overwhelm is like rooted in a lack of safety. So, you know, where is it that you're not feeling safe? Because in order to thrive, in order to like step into our magnificence, into to step into our vision, our dreams, all of those things, we have to start with like the rootedness in our bodies, in our environment of safety. So it's a little bit like, okay, if I'm trying to like create this magnificent vision, but my home doesn't feel safe, that lack of safety is gonna come into all aspects of your life. It's not just compartmentalized to like, I'm not safe in my relationship. It's that sense of safety, lack of safety that is pr so present and alive in your life is gonna be in your business as well. So we've got to like identify where do we not feel safe, and the biggest healer of that is finding safe relationships. So this is where, you know, finding those mentorship spaces, those coaching spaces, therapeutic spaces where you get to be held in safe relationships is so important, because without that, it's difficult to thrive. It's difficult to also see where you're not safe sometimes. Sometimes we don't see that until somebody is mirroring it back to you. And if you've kind of got those spaces and you're still feeling overwhelmed, then it's having those practices to come back to safety in the moment within yourself. So having those practices, those rituals, those moments of connecting in to that grounding, connecting to the earth, connecting to how the land is holding you know, because there's that deep holding that we have that we're not always conscious of, but is there.
I had such a good conversation with a client yesterday or the day before, and it just touches on what you said about finding spaces with great relationships and that mentorship and support. And something she said really resonated with me was building a personal team. So having a coach, having her physiotherapist, having her fitness trainer. And I thought that was such a beautiful way to look at it because, especially if, and I would love to hear your insight on this, especially if you're not cultivating or finding that or attracting that in your immediate relationships, whether it is your partnership, whether it is your family and your friends, putting it that way of building a personal team, I thought that was such a beautiful notion.
Yes, definitely. It's this thing of like moving from the masculine sort of what we've been taught historically is that we have to do things on our own, you know? If you seek support in any way that you're weak, all of those narratives still hold quite strongly actually in mainstream society. And you know, I guess the way that this is also the part of transition to leadership. The part of transition to leadership is what actions am I going to take? What investments am I going to take so that I am lovingly held in my growth? And that piece around like, okay, what is feeling stuck here? It's like, you know, I was feeling last year or the last couple of years actually in this stuckness with my body and feeling like I'm kind of like being healthy, but just holding this sort of just weight that I don't really like desire to be there. And you know, we're given all these messages around you should just love yourself as you are, and like whilst that's true, there's also that part of me that's like, this is not the physique I want to be in. And so, and I'm struggling to like just have that accountability and shift it by myself. And so I go through these periods where I will invest in a personal trainer. And if I can't afford it, I will find the money to do it. I will do an extra bit of work or whatever it is to invest because I see the benefit of that investment and feeling good in myself and all of that, like then totally shifts how I show up. It shifts how I show up on social media, it shifts how I show up in what I'm wearing, in my relationships, all of those things. And like, it was just a little shift of, okay, I need a bit of support there.
For the people listening, I really loved what you said about, okay, this is what I needed because I didn't desire this current body, this current physique that I had. So I was going to make it work. The people listening that go, well, that's all well and good. Maybe it's easier for you because you work online and you can make that extra money if you want, but I don't have the means or I can't afford it. I personally do believe that's a bit of an excuse, but do you believe that people either A, don't want it bad enough, or maybe it's the shame of changing or the fear of changing? Where do you think that is really rooted in? And more so for the audience, to the listeners, to understand if they're like, I really do want to invest in someone. I really want to coach. I want a mentor, personal trainer, whatever it is. And they're just sitting in there thinking, but I actually can't afford it. I can't. What would you say to them?
I mean, I think it's really important to acknowledge that, like, you know, this like space that we're in a, you know, there are places in society. Like, I have come from a privileged position of receiving education, of being supported through that, of like having like work that I can lean on if I need the money or if I desire that. So I think it's, first of all, really important to acknowledge that everybody's in different places. One thing that like I would say is I have definitely been in periods of feeling significant lack, where I've been like, how am I going to pay this bill this month? You know, how am I going to contribute to the mortgage this month? And being in total fear and panic. So I've been in that place as well. And I guess one of the things that has really supported me, and this is around this, it's around like this piece around vision and what you, who you desire to be. And that version is you now, but what you desire to cultivate in your life. And therefore, what are the values that are really important to you? Because those values tie in then to what you are investing in. So for me, at this stage of my life, like what I choose to invest in is so different to what I would have invested in like 4 or 5 years ago. I probably would have spent much more money on like going out, on cafes, on like eating out, all those kind of things. And that has shifted so much. And that shift has meant that actually, like, I can save a bit of money to go for the PT or like access the gym membership or whatever it is. So I think there's a huge values exercise. And it's that piece around, like, in the past, I have invested in mentors when I haven't had the money. And I'm paying that debt off now. But I look back at it still and I've shifted my relationship with debt, and because I have a plan around paying it off, and I look back at the investments and I think I don't regret them. I still don't regret them, even though I had the debt, There's debts that I have that I regret, where it was like, why did I spend that much money on a hotel when I didn't have it? You know, because I wanted this up-leveled experience of what I should look like. And so there's those pieces around self-responsibility and accountability and what truly feels like it is going to support you to grow. So that investment in growth, that's the difference, like investment in things, investment in growth.
Do you think that growth has to be a value though to someone? They have to want to grow?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Anybody listening to this are in a place of desiring growth, 100%.
I agree.
So you're desiring, you're desiring it, you want it, you're like hungry for it. You're already in that space if you're listening to this podcast. So it's just like, okay, you know, what am I choosing to invest in right now? What are the priorities? Because, and I think that that's also cycles. Like, I've had cycles where I haven't invested anything like last year, I didn't have the money actually to invest in like bigger mentorship containers. And so I would choose things like I would choose a one-off session with somebody, or I would choose, you know, a little piece of something or a smaller membership with something. So I'm still feeling held, but I'm not like investing huge amounts of money.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Yeah, you go through the cycles and you find the things that you want support in. I kind of want to loop back to what you said at the start, and you explained when I asked you about how you don't follow anyone on Instagram, and you explained you kind of went through this death and this rebirth. Mm-hmm. I would love for you to share a bit more of that. How did you come to the awareness that, okay, things are going to change, I've got to shake things up?
So I went through a lot of grief and just honestly, I felt like it was the first time I had this moment where I was like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. It feels hard. I don't know if I want to do it anymore. And I like gave myself permission to go into that. And I gave myself permission to just say, do you know what? Just have a break. Have a break. And I also, amongst that, decided, okay, I'm going to pick up some work that's not related to the business. There's a lot of shame around that as well. Like, if you're not fully 100% in your business, then what does that mean about you? Whereas I was like, hey, I need to create some stability financially here so that I can like really feel safe to look into all of this and feel into this. So I just created this spaciousness and I cried and I prayed and I watched a lot of Netflix as well. And then like amongst that came over time this like reemergence of, what am I talking about? Of course I want to do this.
I love that. But what got you to there to realize I actually do want to do this? Do you think that we need to embrace the moments where probably our body and our mind is calling out for space in what we do? Because I completely resonate. Yes. There are sometimes I'm crying to my partner and I'm like, do I actually want to be a business owner? Is this actually for me? And then I, you know, a month later, I'm like, of course I want to do this. I'm crazy for even thinking anything opposite. So do you think it's so important for us to honor those times to actually take the space?
Yes, definitely. Like the emergence, that what has come through from it has been incredible, because the death and allowing the space, and people might be like, I can't take a month off, right? What has emerged as a result of that is amazing. You know, what I felt like is that like the death has created a huge up level. So as a result, it's things like I've upgraded my business systems, I've upgraded like the room that I'm podcasting in, you know, the room that I'm creating is beautiful now. And it's like before I didn't even have a proper setup for where I'm recording a podcast. Do you know what I mean? So there's all these little pieces that were just feeling stuck. And it's like, I feel like I'm creating as a result an elevated brand. So it's things like I've now invested in a bit of social media support to up level my posts so they look better, transitioning to Kajabi, just all of these like pieces which just feel like I am embodying the leader that is meant to be there. And then it was interesting because amongst all of that, I also then thought, okay, I am gonna up level my nourishment, all of those pieces alongside it. So now it's like I'm sitting in this version of myself that is so different, like so incredibly different to the version of me just like 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
If I hadn't allowed that, then it's almost like I'm just like fighting something. It's like, I believe in meeting resistance, but there's also the piece around surrender. What we're taught is that it's not safe to surrender. The surrender, it's like it returns you to like the rich soils, You know, it returns you to something that is greater than you, a guidance that is greater than you, and really coming back to like rootedness.
Why do you think we struggle with surrendering?
Because we are taught that if we give up control, something bad is going to happen. So that's like, there's so many levels and layers to this. Like, there's the societal kind of macro level of, you know, we're taught, aren't we, that we've got to be on it all the time. It's like if you look at workspaces, you know, the way that workspaces are is that you're 100% productive all the time. If you look at yourself as a woman, you're in cycles. If you look at seasons, we're in cycles. So if you're just operating constantly from this space of I have to be productive 100% of the time, it just doesn't sink in with the flow of life and nature. So we're taught that, and part of like the leadership for myself and that I bring in for my clients as well is around, you know, where are you in your cycle? Where are you? Where are we in a season? So like I have just felt like this huge emergence of energy in the last like week or two, and it's just starting to be spring here. And it's just coincided so beautifully.
That is
and
so
in
beautiful.
That space, yeah.
Yeah.
As the light is literally coming into like the room now, yeah. Whereas it was like dark before, I'm suddenly feeling like, okay, I want to create amazing content. You know, so that inspiration has come with the season as opposed to fighting against it. But we are taught to fight against it and just be on it all the time. And there's that fear. Yeah. There's the fear of what will happen to me if I let go of one of the spinning plates that I'm juggling.
Something I often hear when I have more in a social setting, when I speak to people and they have these ideas or things that they want to do, and they say, I couldn't possibly do that, or I couldn't possibly leave my job for a little bit, or I couldn't possibly go travel, and the fear
I just
comes
lost
up.
I just lost you actually for just like
that's
20
all right.
seconds.
That's okay. I'll say it again. What I was saying is something that often comes up when in a more of a social setting, having conversations with people, and if they're sharing like, I wish I could do this, or I would love to do this. And then it's kind of like my perception is always like, why not? Why can't you make it work? But I feel that we are conditioned in the way to automatically be like, I can't make that work, or I could never leave my job, or I could never save that amount of money, or I could never go travel there for X amount of time, and really rooted in fear. And for people that are listening now and they're kind of at this crossroad where it's like, I'm here in life, but I really want to make a choice. I just can't make the leap. I'm too scared to surrender. I'm too scared to actually go into the unknown. What are some things that you would say to them, or some things that have helped you to go into the unknown?
One of the things for me has been really like cultivating my relationship with pleasure. So it's like one of the growth pieces for me has been, what brings me pleasure? This is what you can really forget as business owners, because you know, and it's like, I really looked at that. I made some decisions, like, even though I've been married for 23, been with my partner for 23 years or something, I made a decision like a couple of years ago that I would do some traveling by myself. And it was like really hard because I was like breaking the pattern that we knew in our family. And it wasn't even for like long period of time. It was like, okay, I'm going to go away for 3 weeks. I'm going to go to this retreat. Then I'm going to travel for a few days, and then I'll meet you guys on a holiday. But it was like this, it brought up so much fear because it's something that I hadn't done before, but there was something within me which was like, you need to experience this, because you've not experienced it before. So when we dampen our pleasure, when we dampen our excitement, we don't give ourselves permission to receive it, what that leads to is that it leaks. in other places of your life because you're not fulfilling yourself. So it leaks, for example, in you finding excitement in unhealthy ways that actually don't feel good and don't that version of you ends up like, it's like that thing where you're getting a short-term win, but there's a bad aftertaste, you know? So there's something for me around like the pleasure of something, and what feels pleasurable is changeable. Again, we go in cycles. So that cycle, for example, of like really wanting to travel, I needed to meet that, even though it felt uncomfortable. And what that has brought has been such a depth of appreciation for what I have. So it's kind of brought me full cycle, and it's brought me back to like, okay, actually what I really want to devote to now in this cycle is, how do I upgrade the space that I'm living in? How do I really create a sense of stability and safety in my finances? That is bringing me a deep-rooted pleasure. How do I deeply bring pleasure to what I'm eating? You know, all of those things. So the question I would ask is like, what is going to bring you pleasure, not just for the short term, but for this, for the long term as well? And if it's like ticking both boxes, then that is something to invest in.
I love that. It takes me back. I remember last year at some point, I felt really stagnant in business, stagnant making sales, but also just more so my creativity, my fun, and my connection to my business. And I was thinking back to the year before in 2022, I spent 3 months in Bali with my partner and work still created content, but we were definitely prioritizing having experiences in Bali and having a lot of fun, and business felt effortless. I was working less, but I was having more fun. It felt effortless and creating my group coaching at the time. And so last year when I felt that stagnant energy, it was like, why was it so easy when I was traveling and I wasn't home and grounded? And I thought I was having more fun. I was experiencing more pleasure in life and more pleasure in my day-to-day things and what I was doing. And so I love that you bring that up, because I think that we don't prioritize pleasure enough in our day-to-day lives and prioritize that as something to turn to when we're feeling stagnant.
Yes, definitely. And it's that piece to like continuously remember, there's no point getting to like an end goal if the journey is like just filled with suffering, you know? So you're like missing the point of what is here now in life. And like pleasure, like I think pleasure can look like so many different things. And the thing that I'm like connecting more deeply with is pleasure in simplicity. Like it doesn't need to be a big thing. It can just be like, because we've been in winter, you know, and it rains a lot where I live, when the sun is out, like to really, really appreciate it, to just go and have a like a coffee in the sun is such a pleasurable experience.
I agree.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So just, and then when you do have these bigger experiences of like going to Bali or whatever it is, it's like, there's another level, isn't it? Another level of pleasure.
Yeah.
But it's starting from, how do I cultivate it here and now? Because otherwise you're just wanting to escape.
Do you find that you have experienced many clients or people you've had conversations with that most of their life they're trying to escape from the things that they don't want instead of working towards the things that they do?
Yes. I've been in that place.
Yep.
100%. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And that's where like you can end up, you know, the escapism piece is dangerous actually, because that escapism piece has led to me doing things that are sabotaging, that actually don't feed my, you know, that actually don't feed me in the long term. And so, you know, that's where we've got to take that radical responsibility of, where am I hurting myself actually? Where am I hurting myself rather than loving myself? Where am I punishing myself rather than nurturing and nourishing myself?
That punishing piece, I love that. I want to highlight that. What do you mean by that for the listeners, the punishing piece?
So it can be so subtle, like I think an easy example is to talk about food and our relationship with food and our bodies, something that's like felt really painful for me in the past. So say with me, like I've used like a personal trainer or I've kind of gone to somebody for support in the past. And because it was coming from a place of, I need to escape my body. I need to escape this version of me that I don't like. It's like the cycle of, I then entered, felt like I was entering, like tracking my food, for example, from a place of punishment and denial and restriction. So it's like I got to this space of like being in this quote unquote like great body, but actually still feeling actually the same kind of way about myself. Whereas now, like say for example, at the moment, I'm tracking my food, it feels completely different because the version of me now just approaches it completely differently. I've not approached it with, I hate my body, I hate who I am, because that's a link, right? I hate my body is often directly linked with I hate who I am. So as I've developed this greater, deeper love for myself, it's not I hate my body, I want to change who I am. It's there's these pieces that don't feel totally aligned with the incredible version that I am. And I'm ready to like shift that. So the energy around it is so different.
I love that.
And because I've cultivated that deeper sense of self-love. So it feels easy. It doesn't feel like a struggle. In the past, it was a struggle. Whereas it just feels like, okay, it gets to be easy. It gets to be this simple little shift rather than it being in the depths of wounds. And if you're stuck in the depths of the wounds, that's the bit that needs the work, not the external stuff.
Yeah. It reminds me what you said about the external stuff. A book, I'm not sure if you've read, Psycho-Cybernetics. And it talks about this exact, highly, highly recommend the exact thing. He does surgery and what's the word? Plastic surgery. And he speaks about the effects of people changing their body and, you know, whether it's their nose, breast augmentation, ears, whole face. And they expect that by the end of that, they're going to love themselves, that they're going to feel so good about themselves. And he says that in all the years that he's done these surgeries, that majority of the people go back to the exact same thinking of, I hate myself, I'm not good looking enough, I'm not worthy enough, I'm not sexy. And it relates directly to what you said. It's like working on the inner talk, the inner feelings, rather than focusing on the external things. And
yes,
I think that's such a powerful piece because we forget that. We think if we change all these external things, then I'm going to feel better. And most of the time, it's never the case.
Yes, absolutely. The more that I've like devoted to the inner peace, the inner pieces, even though it feels like it's taking time, it can feel like it's taking time. Why isn't the external stuff working? When you devote to the internal peace, the external stuff will come. Like there's no doubt about it. This is what I've experienced. This is what I see with my clients again and again. They do the inner work and then like 2 or 3 years later or a few months later, I'll get this message from them and they'll be like, oh my gosh, you know, all this inner work, it's like my life has changed so magically and incredibly. So we have to go there, and it will be worth it, you know, it will be worth it to go to those places of shadow, to those places of darkness. You can't avoid it, because when you avoid it, it will just pop up in all the places at all the times when you don't want it to.
Mm.
And it will keep coming up and say, look at me.
I think that happens for the people that actively avoid doing any of the work. And I truly believe it will continue to pop up, and things will continue to pop up and show up to push you to change. And if anyone now is listening to that and thinking, that's me, like I'm getting these signs, or I'm feeling like it's time to make a shift in my life, where would you suggest they start when it comes to the inner work? What's like the first step they can take?
The first step they can take is to like actually own the pattern that needs to shift, the pattern that is still there after all these years.
Yeah.
Like it keeps, everybody knows it. Everybody knows the pattern, right? And, you know, it's not to say that it's not an evolving journey, because I still have patterns that I'm wanting to heal, you know. There's just another pattern that reemerges or something like that. So it's constantly evolving, but, you know, writing down, like start by, if we're going to make it simple, write down what is the pattern that I'm stuck in that I really don't feel good about? How am I going to seek some support around this to help shift it? Where am I going to start? Like, if you can't afford anything, get a book. Start the journey somewhere. There's so many free resources, you know, or buy something, like buy a little course. Or the point is, like, when you take that action, you are getting the ball rolling with creating the shift. So the action, whatever the action is the shift. And you might then buy that book or take that course or whatever, and you think, oh, nothing's really changing. But then there's something that you read, or there's something that you do that like takes you into something else, and you go deeper. And then you do some of that and you're like, okay, I think I'm kind of getting it now. And then you're like, okay, I think I'm ready for this thing. So all of those steps are like prepping you for something greater.
I completely agree.
You've got to start. Yeah. It's like there's this tiny thing that you read, or,
yeah,
and it's a gateway. It's a gateway to, in 2 years' time, that thing is going to have evolved so much. And that's the piece that we forget. And like in this sort of social media space, it's like people think that like you can change a lifetime of patterns in a day.
Yeah.
And what, like,
yes,
there's a journey with it. And what can happen is that when you go on the journey, what you can find is that actually you do this gradual inner work, and then there's a shift that happens, and it's like it actually does feel like it can happen overnight. But it's not happened overnight. You have been building up to that moment where there's then a sudden external shift, and everything starts falling into place with the thing that you were stuck in.
Yeah, the happening overnight is very interesting, isn't it? Because even when I think about the online space and online coaches, you see a lot that are, you know, put their results, whatever they may be, monetary wins. And it's kind of like, I did this in, you know, a week. And then you go look at them and it's like, you've actually been working at this for over a decade. It's actually a decade's worth of work. And I'm like, you need to acknowledge that wasn't in a week. So I love that, because I think it highlights for everyone. It's, don't expect that change that you're envisioning and that you're truly desiring to happen after finishing that book. It's going to be a compound effect.
Yes, exactly. And there's also miracles, like miracles happen, don't they? Miracles happen. Yeah. But I think it's so important to, like, this is what I teach, you know, in the Academy of Healing. It's this piece around how do we support people to move through authentic healing and growth, you know? So it's that, yes, we can have these radical transformational experiences. I've experienced that myself, where life radically changed within a year. But there's some pieces which are going to take a bit longer, They're going to take a bit of work. They're going to take a bit of d devotion, and that is also okay. If anything, that's more liberating. That thing of like, I'm committing to this. I'm going to love myself so deeply to devote to this thing. It's so rich. So that is equally as beautiful.
I love that word devotion. I haven't used it or heard it in a very long time. I love it. Word of the week. Beautiful word.
Yes.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
love that.
It's my word
Devotion.
of the year.
Yeah.
Simplicity,
Ah, beautiful.
devotion.
Beautiful. I love that. This has been such an incredible conversation. And I like to end all podcast interviews with I have a few questions and I always choose one depending on who I'm interviewing. There's like two on here that I want to ask, but I feel like I'm going to ask you this one. If you were to create a new holiday, what would it be called and how would people celebrate it?
It'd probably be something like the day of full permission for joy or something like
Oh, I
that.
love that. Let's bring
Like,
that holiday. Yes.
yeah, like all the things that you don't give yourself permission to go and like do or experience. It might just even be, I am gonna lie here and do nothing other than eat popcorn or whatever. I'm gonna eat whatever I want, or I'm gonna take like a day off on a Wednesday and go and see my best buddy and just spend the whole day with her and like do really fun things. Because it's just so easy to forget about joy. It's like just needed, isn't it? Like we have to experience joy. And often, like the thing that people come to me with is they lack permission around creating a life of joy. There's those parts of them that think, I can't do that. I'm married. I can't do that. I have a child. I can't do that. I'm running a business. And it's like, no, you can.
Yes.
Can go and do those things. It's just that you were taught that you weren't allowed to. And if you go and do what you want to do, then it means that you're selfish. Actually, you going and doing the thing that you want and experiencing the deep-rooted joy that you want to experience is going to benefit the people around you because you're happier, you're more content, you want to serve, you want to feed the people around you, and you're operating from that lit up, satisfied, joyous space, as opposed to feeling resentful that you're not having the experiences that you want to have, blaming people around you, saying it's their fault, and operating from that place of negativity and resentment. It's just not, it's that's the opposite of joy, and it's actually the more selfish thing to do.
Yeah, agreed. Let's this holiday every month. Let's bring
Yes,
it in. I absolutely,
joy
yes.
day.
Yes, I love that. I love that. Thank you so much for this. Where can everyone find you? What have you got, your offering? I know you said you have the Academy of Healing. Like, what can people do to work with you or to get more in
Yes.
your into your world?
So you can follow me at the spiritual underscore psychologist on Instagram. You can head to my website, www.thespiritualpsychologist.co.uk. I have a podcast, The Spiritual Psychologist, and the Academy of Healing is my main offering. So it's a 12-month multi-modality coaching certification that's accredited as well. And yeah, it's incredible what I've created in that space. I also offer one-to-one 6-month mentorship called Freedom to Lead. And I have a shadow work healing course. So if you're wanting to dive into your shadows, it's an accessibly priced course to kind of get going with as well.
Incredible. I'm going to put all the details in the show notes below. Thank you so much for your time. That was such a beautiful conversation.
You are so welcome. I loved it. Great questions.
Incredible. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Jessica.
Bye.